Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Purple Insider. Matthew Collar here. And joining the show for the 1,000th time, everybody celebrate, PFF Brad, Brad Spielberger of Pro Football Focus. What is going on, Brad? How about this? How many times did you and I talk about, hey, what if Kirk leaves? How will that look? The advantages and the salary cap. Oh, we had the discussion so many times. Now we are here. And I got to say, going to the owners meetings, it felt like the Minnesota Vikings were the belle of the ball with everybody talking about, oh, are the Vikings going to trade up? What's it going to cost? Look at us. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? We've pontificated about what it could look like and what it could lead to for years. We're ahead of the curve, and now we're there. And I love what they did this offseason and how everything is shaping up to drop a rookie quarterback into the equation. I think it's going to be a fun era of Vikings football.
Yeah, that's for sure. So before we get into your mock draft, and I've got a, I think, unique way of breaking down your mock. But I just want to know what you thought of the Vikings acquiring the 23rd pick, because there was some varying opinions on that about whether they gave up too much or what, you know, what the quality of that move was. But for me, it made perfect sense for them to trade up to be able to have better ammunition than any other team that maybe is trying to reach into their future draft picks. And instead, you can say to the Patriots, you could say to the Arizona Cardinals, I know those future picks are great, but picks now are even better. And so I thought personally it was a very crafty and shrewd move from Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and he shouldn't pretend that they don't want to trade up. I mean, there's no secret about it that they would like to have it. And if it doesn't work out, well, then they still end up with two first-round draft picks. But how did you view that on, say, a Spielberger draft value chart, for example?
Yeah, no, it would come in as like a bit of a win for the Houston Texans, but I'm with you where this is all about moving up. And like you said, they don't need to be facetious and pretend that's not what they're trying to accomplish. Frankly, I wouldn't even be surprised if they're talking to, you mentioned, New England at 3, Arizona at 4, the Chargers at 5. I think that's the window. And almost gauging what they want, right? Like, they may have made that trade just because one of those teams said, we want multiple firsts this year. We love the class. We want a, I don't know, tackle, receiver, whatever. Go get an extra first and then come back to us and let's have the conversation. I wouldn't be surprised if that has happened. So, yeah, I'm waiting for that trade to go down. I think it's going to be Arizona at 4. It just feels right. The Jonathan Gannon connection, they moved down last year from 3. Maybe they go back up like they did last year as well to get Paris Johnson at 6. I'm with you. Like, it's the value, and again, the value and all that, when you're acquiring a quarterback, it kind of goes out the window. If the guy is a hit at that position, who cares?
I feel the same way about trading up, where if it takes 3 firsts to go up and get one of the elite prospects, that they are in a position to do so. And I will never remember what they gave up if the guy turns out to be good. That if it's your franchise quarterback 4 years in and you're talking about signing him to a record-breaking contract or something, then I'm not going to go, oh yeah, they had to give up that one extra draft pick. But you know, they do have those 2 Lombardi trophies. Of course, maybe that's getting a little ahead of the cart ahead of the horse there, but so you've done a mock, and I, of course, we're talking about every day how this is going to play out, where they're going to trade up, but on purpose, I did not look at your mock. Here's why. I want to guess your mock. I want to go through these first few picks and, of course, see how far we get until the Minnesota Vikings are picking in your mock, because I don't know what you thought of potential trade ups. So I'm going to guess who you mocked, and you can tell me right or wrong. So let's just start out with the Chicago Bears. I'm going to go out on the limb of the century and guess that you mocked the Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams. Is that correct?
That is a bullseye. 1 for 1.
Okay. All right. So there's no, zero chance, right, that it's anybody else. Right? They're all set.
0. It's done. You know, they probably haven't, like, told him or anything just yet. But, I mean, the way they're all parties are talking about it, like, it's the NFL has given a mandate to not, you know, we didn't know Trevor Lawrence was going first overall either. I think it's a done deal.
So for Chicago, let's just briefly touch on that, because they trade Justin Fields for basically nothing. Now they have Caleb Williams here. And I think that Williams suddenly falls into a situation that's pretty good. Whereas I think that if you had asked me 6 months ago at week eight, I would have said, yeah, good luck, Caleb Williams. But the moves that Ryan Poles has made, if Caleb Williams becomes even 75% of what people think he can be, Ryan Poles is going to look like a pretty smart general manager, I think. I mean, early on, there were some questions, kind of the same with Kwesi, like maybe some rookie mistakes from Ryan Poles trading for Chase Claypool. Don't try to defend it. It was bad. But since then, though, the way that they've built out the team, the roster is now set for a quarterback to come in and have a pretty decent situation. I guess the only question I have is really about the coaching staff and how quick he can adjust to the NFL, considering that he played kind of like a scattershot type of football with USC last year. So what is the expectation for Caleb Williams right away?
Yeah, so first to the roster, like, you know, you obviously now have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. I also think Gerald Everett kind of flying under the radar is a very good number two tight end with Cole Kmet, who was, you know, a stud last year, and I wasn't the biggest Cole Kmet advocate. Never was bad, but I was like, you know, was he a top 50 pick player? It looked like one last year. And then you have DeAndre Swift and, you know, obviously a stable Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson. So the offensive line could get better. It's young. I think Darnell Wright was all you could have asked for in a top 10 pick tackle last year. Maybe they do that again. They obviously have number nine as well. So you go receiver, you go tackle, you further bolster that offense. What I've been saying, and this is where I truly believe, this should be a 500 football team. And they should be a wild card type of team. Look, I mean, Detroit and Green Bay are going to be very tough to beat out for the NFC North Division. But, I think they should be 9-8-ish and a wild card competitor in the NFC.
All right. So for your number two pick, I am going to guess that you put with the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels. Is that correct?
You are one for two as your first miss. I'm fading the noise on all that's going around in the NFL. We've now heard, oh, Jaden Daniels going too. We've heard J.J. McCarthy's going too. Okay, who have we not heard is going too? Probably the guy who, in my opinion, is going number two. I know there's a connection to Minnesota. Maybe that confuses or that mixes things up later. But to me, Drake May is the clear number two pick in this draft. And I get people saying, okay, like there's a stylistic element that works with Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. Drake May's offensive coordinator for 2 years in college was Phil Longo, who is an air raid disciple and has a lot of similarities in what he likes to do to college Cliff Kingsbury. So, you know, I don't see why Drake May isn't a great fit. He also can run and scramble and take off with the football plenty. So, to me, I just think we're getting smokescreen of Palooza. Maybe I'm wrong and he does drop. I wouldn't be surprised if any of Drake, Jaden Daniels, or J.J. McCarthy is QB4. Like, I really wouldn't. But for now, I'm fading the noise and just sticking with Drake May at two.
Okay, that's fair enough. I mean, because really, Caleb Williams and Drake May have been at the top for so long that we've seen this in the past where we get bored with our mock drafts and so forth. And, you know, people start to leak certain things if they're hoping maybe that player can drop. But really, since the end of the 2022 season, Drake May has been the number two pick. The only thing I've been trying to put together, because I think the Vikings would really like Drake May, I've been trying to kind of put together the, like, Marcus Mariota, and they've traded away Sam Howell. I guess they're friends with him and Drake May and, you know, whatever. Trying to put together the puzzle pieces, you know, or the guy with everything up on the bulletin board with the yarn connecting the newspaper clippings or something like that. But, I also would not be shocked if Drake May was the number two overall pick, which then makes things quite interesting at number three. Because if you're the New England Patriots and you are truly open for business, are you listening to the Minnesota Vikings if they wanted to trade up and get Jaden Daniels? Or would they take J.J. McCarthy? Does someone else love J.J. McCarthy that much? I'm trying to now get inside your head of what you think. I'm going to say that you mocked Jaden Daniels to the New England Patriots, sticking at number three and not accepting the Vikings trade offer.
Yep, you are correct. And I know, you know, there could be a Godfather offer that maybe the Patriots are interested in. And frankly, I think they probably have the least talented roster in the NFL as of today. So, like, you could talk me into it being not the worst idea in the world. But I think ultimately they're going to say, look, we don't plan on picking this high anytime soon. We like the top three guys or top four guys. even though we agree the roster is not quite there, let's just take one because we don't know if we're going to be picking top three again. Next year's quarterback class, as of right now, is not viewed in a very favorable light. So, yeah, I have the Patriots sticking and taking Jaden Daniels.
I think that, you know, it makes sense. Like, I've been trying to talk myself into it. Like, what would their argument be for trading out of that position? And the argument would be that they have such a bad roster. But we all know about the hack, the salary cap hack, and the money you can spend. And Jaden Daniels is a guy that even if he shows signs of life, they're going to be an attractive place for players. And I also think that, you know, at one time, the reason the Patriots were an attractive spot for players to sign was, of course, championships and Tom Brady. But I look at someone like Jerod Mayo, and he looks like a former player turned coach who could create a different type of culture than Bill Belichick, where they could attract players to sign and spend some of that free agent money. The Vikings are not the only team that is thinking about this hack with the salary cap. So, yeah, I mean, if you're the Patriots, how long can you take to turn it around? That I don't know. I mean, I think it will take a few years to build a complete roster, but you also have a quarterback here who has a high floor based on his scrambling alone in Jaden Daniels. So I could definitely see them saying, sorry, Vikings, we just can't give you a guy that we're going to need to compete with Josh Allen. We're going to need to compete with Lamar Jackson and CJ Stroud and so forth. So maybe they're not in a position to even pass up on this. Even though Robert Kraft did give us a, oh, we're open. Like everybody says that though. Now to number four in the Arizona Cardinals. I believe that you mocked J.J. McCarthy to the Minnesota Vikings at number four to the Arizona Cardinals. Is that true?
Well, this was unfair because I said that earlier. So I did not. In this one, I had Arizona staying at four and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. And then the next pick you can figure out. Yeah, but I do think now this was came out at the beginning of the week. I'm now getting the inkling and the suspicion it's going to be Arizona that's going to be the trade down team. But my initial thought was they already have two first round picks, Arizona, that is. You know, at 4-27, and maybe they look back to last year and be like, well, we could have taken Will Anderson Jr. ourselves, but instead we gave him to the Texans. And look, Paris Johnson looked good last year. I don't think they regret what they did, but I thought maybe that would be a factor. But anyway, so I left it as just take Marv and run away with it and whatever. But yeah, that was unfair because I said it, you know, at the top of the show.
Don't ruin the game here, Brad. This is like, let me continue. This is my game show. I like the game show channel, like
sure,
the old match game and stuff like that. So let me continue to be what's his name? Gosh, now I forget the host. I'll get a bunch of people that'll tweet at me. But all right, well, you know, I actually could see Arizona doing this because what they're trying to do is what the Lions did, which was to take a quarterback that everyone knows is good and maybe is debatable about how good he is, but he's good, and build the rest of the roster around him rather than trying to find the next quarterback and trade away Kyler Murray. And I think a lot of people thought that Detroit was going to only be in on Jared Goff for like a year and then draft a quarterback. And instead they found a different way to do this. And nobody's going to be more helpful to Kyler Murray than either Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, whoever they decide to take with that top pick. And if they were to trade with the Vikings, they are sacrificing one of those guys, one of those receivers. And those two, I think, are head and shoulders, in, at least in my opinion, even above Rome Odunze. So it actually does make sense that they wouldn't do it either and that we would just be inventing all these different trades. Now, number five, though, is this where you traded with the Vikings? Okay, and the Vikings trade up to number five with the Chargers to take J.J. McCarthy there.
That is correct. Yep, so that's the trade there. Chargers are obviously pretty far away roster-wise. You go down, you still can get a really good offensive lineman because I know they need receiver, but, you know, Jim Harbaugh probably would address receiver with, like, Roman Wilson in the third round but wants to get trenches or what have you. So, yep, this is the J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota pick here at five.
Okay, let's break it down hardcore. First of all, the Giants then do not make this move themselves. So are you not buying that the New York Giants want to draft a quarterback?
I think it's probably somewhat real that they're exploring it, and that they also, on top of exploring it, also probably know they can't sit at six and accomplish it, because I really don't think they can. I think 4 and 5 is too much of a threat, and they're going to have to, and they could be more attractive to the, you know, Arizona or LA if they only, if, because those guys, in theory, those teams could still get one of Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. I also agree with you, by the way. I love Romo Dunze. I hope he's a Bear, but I think those guys are better and are a tier one elite talent. At the end of the day, I'm sitting there being like, I think they're going to stand pat. They'll try to add a premium player at another spot, and then they'll try to move on from Daniel Jones.
All right. My next question is, does Jim Harbaugh hold a beef against the Minnesota Vikings for not hiring him? And does he take a different offer because of that? Or does their general manager say, like, Jimmy, we got to take this move, my man. Just forget about it. Go off on your boat on draft day. I'll take care of this. I'll get you guys. Just don't think about this move. It's better for us anyway. The best way to screw over the Vikings is to be a better football team than them by taking their draft picks. That's more of tongue in cheek. I don't think that, like, I think he's trying to win. I don't know that he would have a beef and be like, no way. But the other team that I think we have to talk about in this is the Denver Broncos. Do you think that the Vikings clear cut can put together more than the Broncos? Because I think their ace in the hole is probably Patrick Surtain, if they wanted to trade him along with other draft capital, because, you know, a current superstar player now is a guarantee on the box, as opposed to, you know, with the Vikings just trading draft capital. So what do you think the Broncos can do to get into this mix?
I think they'd have to go to 4, because I don't think you would do this type of trade in division. Obviously, teams are trading in division. Minnesota's obviously done it multiple times now, even in the first round, obviously in the Jameson Williams-Lewisine trade. But for a quarterback, and also for them to be talking about adding, you know, an all-pro young corner, you can't do that in division. So, yeah, Denver, I think, would have to go to 4. And they could. They're desperate. They don't have, though, their own second-round pick. Is either this year or next year for the Sean Payton trade? They don't have. So that obviously hurts the you know, draft capital you can use to make this deal. So like you said, it then comes down to, are they willing to attach a player? I feel like the Raiders and the Vikings probably have better ammo. Also, I wrote this, you know, back to the whole thing we did in the mock draft. Like, the Falcons getting Kirk, it was also this, like, beautiful little genius thing where it was like, your number one competitor for a trade-up in your range is now doesn't need to do it anymore. It was kind of a funny little wrinkle to that signing.
So how much in this scenario that you mocked did you have the Vikings giving up?
So I had 11, 23, and a 2025 third. And that might be a little bit cheap, but to me, yes, you still pay a quarterback premium. Yes, you're going in the top 5, but you're taking the 4th quarterback prospect off the board, A, and you're getting the current year first-round pick, right? So we devalue future picks. And yes, it's a brand-new regime, so they probably would care less about that. But anyway, 2 firsts this year and then a 3rd the following season, because it is QB4, and they're only going down 6 spots. And, you know, I like who's still available once we get there.
Hey, U.S. Cellular customers, I've got good news, so don't hit that skip forward button just yet. I'm talking about their special customer event, Us Days. What's Us Days? It means exclusive offers just for their customers, just to say thanks, like up to $1,200 to upgrade to any new phone. No, I didn't misread that. That's up to $1,200 off. They must really like you all. Us Days at U.S. Cellular, exclusive offers just for you, just to say thanks. Right now, U.S. Cellular customers get up to $1,200 to upgrade to any new phone. Terms apply.
Okay, as I continue to pepper you with questions here, what is your take on J.J. McCarthy? I mean, I know that you're not the film all 22 draft analyst guy in the same way that some, you know, Trevor Sikkema is for PFF, but everybody has an opinion on JJ McCarthy and whether he's worth it. And my opinion has been, I think it's all about how much you pay to get him. That even though we did say quarterback is worth, you know, giving up too much, the package that you just laid out is very much in my mind worth doing for JJ McCarthy. Because realistically, I don't think his ceiling is quite as high as some of the other quarterbacks this draft. So if you're going to win with him, you better have a great team, which to me means you can't just give up everything you have for the foreseeable future. So two firsts and then a third to me is totally fine. If you were talking about adding the additional first from 2025, I'd be like, man, I think that you might be crossing some sort of line here. So what is your take on him as a prospect and the, how much that's worth to move up?
Yeah, so I do think he is maybe better than some of the huge naysayers who think he stinks. Like, I do not agree in any way, shape, or form that he's bad. I think he's worthy of it. I mean, like, in the context of, we know quarterbacks go too early, he's worthy of a top 10 or top 5 pick based on the tools and traits. And that's all you really can look at when you're trying to project guys from college to the next level. I don't care about the intangibles, the winner. It's all nonsense to me. But it does add context to some of his production at times where, look, I mean, the guy literally never had a second half deficit in his entire college career going into the second half. Of course, he's not going to have high volume passing, but I liked the Ohio State game the year, 2 years ago. He threw the ball a ton and he had 40 pass attempts and had a good game. He can throw to all levels of the field. He can throw going to his left and to his right. He is a good athlete. You know, he's a five-star recruit and all that for a reason. My main concern with him is you don't see a lot of touch throws on his tape. It's a lot of, like, everything's kind of a bullet, which is a college thing. We see it all the time. I'm not saying he can't do it, but you would like to see more of that. But, yeah, I mean, I think he could be a starter-level player. And then, like you're saying, you have two good tackles. Obviously, got to get Brian O'Neill healthy. You got two good receivers. Got to get TJ Hawkins. But, again, like, you have a good infrastructure in place for where, even if he's not great, you talk about Jared Goff as an example, if J.J. McCarthy can be Rams rookie deal Jared Goff, that team can make a run in the NFC playoffs because of how good everyone else is around him. So, yeah, I like him. There are some concerns, no question, but I think some people are way too low, and apparently the NFL might be a little bit too high. But yeah, he's a top seven pick at quarterback, and I have no issue with it.
Yeah, I think for me, the key to the entire thing is with every projection, I don't know if you used to play, well, let's see. What would be your first video game system for Brad Spielberger? Would it have been like PS2 and 64 maybe?
Oh, geez, you're killing me here. Oh, I was the younger brother. So we had a Sega. We had a Sega Dreamcast. But I guess my, like, first one that I was truly in the weeds was the N64, yeah.
Okay, so N64, you could have, like, cheat codes in N64 where you could go, like, onto the early internet or something and try to find them. Or you could get magazines where you could find different cheat codes. Well, the whole point is just that Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson, to me, this duo, and you know, Addison Hawkinson to some extent, but mostly Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell are the cheat code. So you can go and you can plug in whatever code on NBA Hangtime, and suddenly your guy jumps all the way to the roof and breaks the backboard every time or whatever. I think that that is really true for the Minnesota Vikings. When you compare all the situations the quarterbacks are going to drop into, I would not want to be Jaden Daniels starting out with the New England Patriots. Even the Washington Commanders have a lot of work to do if they're going to take Drake May. The Vikings have almost no work to do. I know they need a left guard, but almost no work to do in the major, major positions here, including head coach. And the reason that I like McCarthy to the Vikings, even if I'm more skeptical about him as a prospect, is because I think his personality really fits with Kevin O'Connell. And this is from his press conference. This is from watching his interviews. I think he's a great communicator. And if you could take a raw set of skills and communicate effectively with Kevin O'Connell and take what he teaches and his offense out to the field and throw the ball in the general vicinity of Justin Jefferson, accuracy can be a shade overrated if you have Justin Jefferson. Yeah. And that was sure proven by Nick Mullins. I was joking with somebody at the owners' meetings that, like, Justin Jefferson's Mona Lisa was getting Nick Mullins to 400 yards two games in a row, where those throws are just floating up there and he's making plays. I think that J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings together as a pair is as perfect of a fit as there is in this draft. And it's probably similar to, like, Caleb Williams. Like, we want to debate different things and different paths, but this one just makes the most sense.
I see it. I do. And, like, you know, we've talked in the past about how, you know, Kevin O'Connell clearly wanted a guy who's mobile. You can scramble with J.J. McCarthy. You can also have some design run. He ran zone read. He ran QB counter. He did different things with his legs. Again, we're talking about a guy we want to be a great passer at the NFL level, but He adds another element and dynamic to this team. Aaron Jones would be a fun, you know, compliment as a check down guy and a good runner. I agree with you. The Drake May thing with Luke McCown or Josh McCown, whichever McCown, obviously makes plenty of sense too. And he has a similar skill set in a lot of ways. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. McCarthy would, like, you know, you bring him along slowly. Maybe Darnold does play some games early, and you just, like, you know, all that, that's where all the intangibles and all that comes in. You know, quick learner, smart locker room guy, yada yada. But I'm with you. I think it does make a lot of sense.
Well, I personally think that they should add another McCown at least, and maybe also Cade McNown as well, just to make sure that they touch all the bases. It is memorable. You, as a Chicago Bears follower, Josh McCown. Well, I mean Cade McNown, of course, but Josh McCown's his run through, like, I don't know, 6-7 games where he played some of the best football of anybody in the league, and it really shows you how good your journeyman backup quarterback actually is at football. That most of them are capable in a portion of a season, like Case Keenum, right? Of just getting hot. And anyway, that's neither here nor there. But that is a big hire for the Vikings, though, I think, because of his experience, not just as a player who has worked with so many quarterbacks along the way, but also he saw what went wrong for Bryce Young last year in Carolina. And I'm not saying that Carolina's owner forced them to play Bryce Young right away, but maybe I'll just twitch with my eye here as we talk about it, that I don't think that he was ready to go right away, and they would have preferred to play Andy Dalton, and instead it was like, mandate, you're going to play. That's just my guess. And I think McCown brings perspective on that, having gone through that. I don't think it would be a bad thing, Brad, at all, if they started Sam Darnold for half the season. Even if they started Sam Darnold for the entire season, like, this is a long-term decision that you're making here, and they need to view it that way. And that means everyone needs to view it that way. O'Connell, the Wilfs, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, because if they don't freak out and they handle this patiently, this has a chance to compete with the Jordan Love, compete with the Lions roster, compete with the Caleb Williams, even if I think McCarthy might not technically have the same level of ceiling as some of those other quarterbacks.
I see it the same way. I know it's just like such a, you know, faux pas now to not play your top five pick quarterback right away. I mean, look, Andy Dalton was QB1 in Chicago for about a month until he wasn't. And frankly, it probably should have stayed that way. And we know Matt Nagy wanted to continue doing that. And a lot of people in the building did. And there was pressure, I don't know, you know, ownership, whoever. And again, like, I get you want to play the young guy eventually. But yeah, I think McCarthy, I will say this too, like, he probably could use some seasoning, half season, maybe even full season, depending how Darnold looks. Obviously, he was a teammate of McCown's too, so Darnold, that being. So, yeah, I'm with you. You don't have to rush these things, and we've seen it go very poorly where a guy's not ready yet. We've also seen the flip side where a guy gets the seasoning and then comes in and plays great football. So, yeah, it's not a one-year investment. It's a ideally 10-year investment.
Okay, so in your mock, though, let's say that Trevor Sikkema had told you, that's the PFF's draft analyst, Brad, you can make a mock for PFF.com, but buddy, you just can't have those Vikings trading up. You know, he likes the Bucks, and I don't know, whatever, maybe there's some beef there. So he says, you just can't do it. You got to make him stick and pick at 11. How, and 23, how would you have played it out if you had not mocked them as being able to trade up? Or I guess I should have said, if Harbaugh does have that grudge and said, I'll trade up with anybody except for the Minnesota Vikings, how would you have had it playing out?
I think 11 for me would have been Byron Murphy out of Texas, probably. I think he has a chance to be the first defensive player taken. I think he's a phenomenal, phenomenal player on the interior. I know he measured a little bit smaller, but you don't see that as an issue against the run at the college level. Of course, there'll be an adjustment at the NFL, but he's so strong in his base and can hold up at the point of attack. And then he's a phenomenal pass rusher. Great first step off the line. Pretty nuanced for his age, especially on the interior. So I'd probably go there. And then 23, I'm thinking probably, like, that one's tougher. I mean, DB, probably a corner. You know, is a Cooper DeJean going to be there at 23? A guy who can play safety and play corner, that it just adds a different element. I know they have a bunch of safeties already now. I like Bynum. You know, I obviously like Metellus, and now he plays a ton in the slot too. But yeah, I think I would go DB there. I don't think Terrion Arnold will be there. I don't think Quinion Mitchell will be there at 23. But I think the rest of the DBs will. So I mean, I think I would look in that direction.
But not Bo Nix or Michael Penix there.
No, no. I don't think those guys should go in the first round. And frankly, as of today, I don't think they will. But no, I think it'd be a bad pick. I would take them in the second, sure. First round, bad pick, in my opinion, at least.
Folks, if you don't know what a VPN is, you might actually need one and not even realize it. If you already know the positives, you also might not be using the right product. In either case, you want to check out Surfshark. VPNs keep your information safe, and anyone who tries to track what you're doing online will not be able to do so if you are using Surfshark. IP addresses, what you're searching, what games you're playing, or what shows you're streaming will belong to you and you only. Plus, if you use a VPN, you can virtually travel the world from the comfort of your own home, and Surfshark gives you over 100 countries to choose from. Once you change your virtual location, you'll be able to bypass censorship and restrictions, find your favorites on Netflix, Hulu, Disney, and other streaming services, and even access new libraries to watch even more content. Can't see a YouTube video because of your location? Use Surfshark VPN. Can't access that one website to buy limited edition sneakers? Use Surfshark VPN. Try Surfshark today totally risk-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.deals/purpleinsider. Enter the promo code purpleinsider for 3 extra months for free. You heard me right, 3 extra months for free. That is surfshark.deals/purpleinsider.
So, in that case, then the Vikings trading up, I mean, it would be okay for rebuilding their defense, but in my opinion, that would be a disaster for the Vikings weren't able to come away with a quarterback. Now, I think that what you're saying is not unrealistic, that it could only be a 4-quarterback draft in the first round, because we have seen this many times before where we talk ourselves into just okay prospects. And normally the NFL is only going to spend a first round pick on somebody if they think they can be the franchise quarterback, right or wrong. That's just how they look at it. That's how Desmond Ridder ends up as a 3rd-round draft pick rather than what some of the tape watchers thought he should be, because that guy did not have the tools to be a top-notch franchise 10-year quarterback. And mostly teams don't look at it as, whatever, we'll just take a swing. Like, there's way too much. You can't go to your owner and say, yeah, I don't know, let's just take a shot. Maybe it's fine. You're like, no, you need to have the PowerPoint presentation ready for why this guy is worth it. And I think that is harder to do with Bo Nix and Michael Penix. But I also think that there would be a lot of pressure on Kwesi Adofo-Mensah to take one of them anyway, if they were still there, because knowing that they let Kirk walk and only have Sam Darnold as their quarterback, I just think you have to fall in love with one of those guys.
No, you're right. You're right. At 23, so yeah, for me, 11, no. At 23, I do think both guys will be there. The scenario where they do go in the first, to me, is like someone very, very late gets a trade up from a team in the early second. You know, let's say the Giants, like, you know, whatever, don't get their guy at 6. They'd move up from, you know, 47, whatever. 23, I guess, and I would lean Bo Nix. I'm not a huge fan of either, frankly, but I guess. And you're right. There certainly is pressure. You can't move on from Kirk, sign Darnold, and then not do anything in the draft. And they don't have a second now, right? That was part of the Texans trade. So, you know, my guy Michael Pratt in the 3rd, Tulane, lock it in.
No, I don't like that. Or, the Spencer Rattler people. I need the Spencer Rattler people to just step down. Like, just stop this.
They're fighting. They're digging in. I feel like they're on a resurgence right now. They kind of went away for a little bit. Now they're back.
Yeah, they saw his combine and they're like, oh, okay, well, but let's wait a few weeks and then we'll bring that take back. Spencer Rattler has not ever really played good football in college, which makes him, to me, just not like anyone that would be considered toward the top of the draft. But anyway, or even in the first like 3 rounds, but whatever. The Vikings can't be in that spot where they're trying to make a case for the Kellen Mond of this draft. Oh, well, you know, we had this guy as a first rounder all along and we had the intel that he dropped. That can't happen to Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. And I don't think that's just me speaking. I think that's got to be the Wilf speaking as well, that if you're going to let Kirk Cousins go, and we know that they want to win every single year, you can't come away with a guy who has as many interceptions as touchdowns as the only quarterback you have, and then also Jaren Hall, who's not capable in his two starts of getting to halftime. So, like, that's not, it just, that cannot happen for the Vikings. And to me, they have to complete the circle here, which is you start out at a competitive rebuild type of point where you're trying to win, you tear big parts of it down, you acquire the extra draft capital, you have to bring this all together with a quarterback. And I think that the only thing you'd run into is a fear for 23 is people saying that you reached on Bo Nix or Michael Penix because you were desperate. And that would have to probably be true. I mean, that doesn't terrify me maybe as much as you, because I think both guys are good prospects, but that's not ideal for them. I mean, the trade up is so by far the most ideal scenario.
Yeah, and I think that's why I just think it's going to happen. They must have gotten to a point where they were just comfortable enough with all four of the big four names that, all right, if we go to four, whoever happens to be there we're comfortable with, we'll just do that. It almost kind of works in their favor. Like, if they said, okay, we only like two of them, we hate the, you know, the other two, you're not going to get to two. So it kind of, it's going to happen. I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen. You're right. If it doesn't, they're going to have to take one of those guys at 23. I'm not saying I hate them. They're not first rounders in my eyes. And there's been plenty of good guys that go in that 40, you know, talk about Andy Dalton, Derek Carr. There's a lot of Colin Kaepernick. There's a lot of players that go in that range. It's just a scary proposition for kind of the position of where they're at. Like, if you're Kwesi, you don't feel confident going into 2024 that you're on, you know, your seat is cold after that type of draft plays out.
No, that's right. Because if they are able to get one of the top four quarterbacks, then patience is going to be the name of the game. And if they end up with Nix or Penix, those guys are on the older side. There's going to be more expectation. Like, you can sell McCarthy or Drake May as, hey, like, the guy's only 21 years old. Like, let's let him develop. Let's give Kevin O'Connell time. But if it's those other guys and they look not great right away, there's going to be much less patience. And I think that that's the right way to approach it. I still don't look at it as, oh my gosh, they blew it, total disaster, if they come away with Nix or Penix, but it's certainly not on the same level of being ideal as one of the top four guys. Before we wrap up though, I got two more things to ask you. Number one is the accumulation of moves for the Vikings. Anytime I have diverted from quarterbacks, I feel the audience just falling asleep, but there were a lot of moves that the Vikings made here. Grenard, Van Ginkle, and then even just recently a handful of guys to give them a little more depth on the defensive side. How do you feel that they dealt with this roster aside from just the quarterback and having Kirk Cousins leaving?
I loved what they did. I mean, you have to at a when you're going to make this decision, get younger across the board, get more athletic on defense. I know you lose both players in Wanham and Danielle Hunter. You know, Hunter obviously a stud, but going to turn 30 years old, and Wanham a solid snap eater, a good player. But you just, you know, KJ Osborne, I know he's a fan favorite and a beat favorite. Sounds like he's a great guy, but I don't think it's a massive loss necessarily. I really like what they have done, though. I like Blake Cashman. Thought he had a phenomenal season. You mentioned, you know, the depth, like a Shaq Griffin at corner. Solid move. A good player. High floor player. To me, I just love the Grenard Van Ginkle. Obviously, the AVG reunion with Brian Flores. There's a lot to like about what they did, and you just get so much younger. Guys that have been durable, played a lot of football in recent years, and you save money on a lot of those deals as well. So I love their offseason. And, you know, hopefully you can free up that Danielle Hunter third round comp pick again. I think it's currently blocked out again. But obviously you're getting the one for Kirk Cousins. So, yeah, I think they've done a great job. You drop in the rookie quarterback, and, you know, everyone keeps saying it about Chicago, which I agree, they've done a good job. But, man, I mean, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Christian Darrisaw, Brian O'Neill, and then a defense that should be average with how good Flores is, doesn't get much better than that for a rookie quarterback either.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a construction to be done, I think, with the depth. And offensive line guy in the comments is right. I mean, the interior is shaky. I still don't trust right guard. They don't have anyone at left guard with any experience. Like, these things have to happen, or Sam Darnold is going to up those fumble numbers that are pretty high for his career if he's playing. Or I wouldn't want J.J. McCarthy without good guards. to start the season. So, you know, there is still things that they have to do throughout this offseason to improve. But overall, considering you were losing your starting quarterback, who's consistently been somewhere between the 8th and 12th best quarterback in the league, and then also, you know, Danielle Hunter and a player of his caliber signing kind of 2 to 3 guys with his money rather than putting it all in his basket, I think it's just simply better for Brian Flores to have versatile pieces. Andrew Van Ginkle, I think, can't be understated. Like, he's already has loved that guy, and I think he's really going to love that guy in this defense, where he had 2 4-3 defensive ends last year, and instead now he's got his chess pieces to move around. Last thing is, I want you to give me a date in which Justin Jefferson takes a pen and puts it on a piece of paper and writes his name in cursive to agree to a long-term contract with the Minnesota Vikings. When will that happen?
All right. I will give you, I'm doing some research now. I'm looking it up here. I'm going to get an exact date for you. All right. Let's see here. All right. So the date I'm looking up was when DK Metcalf signed his extension last offseason. I use him in particular because he went last, because he knew I'm going to get the most if I let AJ Brown, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, all those guys go first. I'll sit there and wait. And I think the same thing happens here. Look, Brandon Ayuk is represented by the same people as Justin Jefferson, so they are always going to be aware of what's going on in both conversations. And then CeeDee Lamb needs to go before him as well. So yeah, let's say I'll go August 1st. So right after DK, we'll wait some things out. I think Brandon Ayuk maybe gets traded during the first round of the draft this year, which could be interesting. But yeah, I'll give you August 1, or what did I say? July? No, yes, sorry. August 1st, Justin Jefferson signs a 4-140. Let's go big time. Let's go 4-140.
Did the Vikings screw this up by not signing him last year and just giving him whatever he wanted because the cap went up because there was another year? I don't think so, but you could tell better than me.
No, I don't think so. It's standard practice to do after 4 years for non-quarterback first-round picks. You could say, did the Niners screw up Nick Bosa? No, it's how you do it. And frankly, it's not really going to matter, but Justin Jefferson then happened to have the worst NFL season of his career going into it. So, and not that Minnesota's going to be like, well, your stats last year weren't that great. Like, he still put up 1,000 yards in like 10 games. But no, that's just common practice. They now have all this money off the books for Kirk. And I think as of right now, they're the lowest cash spending team in the NFL right now, or one of them. That's all. It's all the budgeting. It's all part of the plan. And now a massive signing bonus is coming for Justin Jefferson.
I've already prepared my rant when he signs about the jersey swap weirdos who are putting him in an Arizona Cardinals jersey, all the people who wanted to trade him and all that sort of stuff. Like, I just, we should trade up because draft picks and so forth. I'm preparing it because I think that's a fair date to pick. It might take a little longer, just sort of judging by TJ Hockenson, where it's stretched out more into the summer. But the Vikings historically, with Rob Brzezinski as their guy, as sort of the point man on things like this, have wanted to get things done early in training camp. Stephon Diggs was done probably around the same date that you're mentioning. And I think that they've had enough time for everybody to sort of get in their camps, reassess what they did last year. How can we get closer? And this is good for everybody, bad for nobody. And the Vikings can have their guy to pump up and be the cheat code for their quarterback for years to come. So I like it. I'm going to hold you to that. And that means on August 2nd, we'll be podcasting again to break down every detail of Justin Jefferson's contract. Go to PFF.com and check out Brad Spielberger's recent mock. You already know the first 5 picks. I didn't tell you the rest of them, so check that out there. And all of your great offseason analysis. It's been